You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned for the Opera Box.
Support comes from Outworld Brewing, reinventing the brew pub experience through sci-fi fantasy themes. Located in between Highway 287 and I-25 on Highway 119 in Longmont. Offering dine-in, takeout, and delivery. More information at outworldbrewing.com.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener members, and by WOW Children's Museum. More information can be found at wowchildrensmuseum.org.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome in the Opera Box. I'm Ron Nadell. I'll be your host, and tonight I'm taking all my listeners to court, every last one of you, with a playlist of great courtroom scenes in opera, such as this dramatic courtroom testimony from André Chénier. And we'll hear scenes by Verdi, Britten, Vaughan Williams, and more. Does courtroom melodrama make for good opera? You get to be the judge if you join me now in the Opera Box.
Testimoni, datemi il passo. Carlo Gerard sta ben, parla. L'atto d'accusa è orribile menzogna. Se tu l'hai scritto, ho denunziato il falso e lo confesso. Mi e faccio queste accuse e le rinnovo.
Oh,
During the French Revolution, the writer and poet André Chénier, falsely accused of anti-revolutionary sentiment, denies the charges. And although he's defended by the man who admits he falsely accused him, the Revolutionary Tribunal sentenced Chénier to death at the guillotine anyway. From André Chénier by Umberto Giordano. We heard Placido Domingo as André Chénier. Cheryl Milnes was his defender. James Levine conducted the National Philharmonic and the John Aldus Choir. And it's coming up now, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadel at KGNU. Tonight I've got a playlist featuring dramatic courtroom scenes in opera. The real-life writer André Chénier was a pro-revolutionary advocate, but like so many others, he ran afoul of Robespierre. He was one of the last intellectuals to be executed by the tribunal. Robespierre himself would be executed not long after him. Courtroom scenes make powerful drama. Life is on the line, and it's enhanced by great music, although it usually ends badly for the hero. In this next scene, however, the protagonist is not found guilty. But neither is he exonerated, which can be just as bad. In this scene from the prologue of Benjamin Britten's Peter Grimes, the moody fisherman Peter Grimes gives testimony at the inquest into the death of his apprentice. Grimes is not well liked in the fishing village, and gossip has it he murdered the boy. The only person to give him support is his lover, the widow Ellen Orford. Well, court's just in session. Let's listen in.
Peter Grimes, we are here to investigate the cause of death of your apprentice, William Spode, whose body you brought ashore from the boat of boy Billy on the 26th Ultimo. Do you wish to give evidence? Will you step into the box? Peter Grimes, take the oath after me. I swear by Almighty God.
I swear by Almighty God.
That the evidence I shall give.
That the evidence I shall give.
Shall be the truth.
Shall be the
truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
I'll quote the story in your own words. Sailed your boat from the coast with the intention of putting into London. Why did you do this?
We'd caught a huge catch, too big to sell here.
And the boy died on the way.
The wind turned against us, blew us off our course. We ran out of drinking water.
How long were you at sea?
3 days.
What happened next?
He died lying there.
man, the fish.
What did you do?
Through the board, set sail for home.
You mean you threw the fish overboard? When you landed, did you call for help?
I called Ned Jean.
The apothecary here. Was there anybody else called?
Somebody brought the parson.
You mean the rector, Mr. Harris Adams?
All right, Mr. Adams.
Was there a certain amount of excitement? Bob Bowles started shouting.
There was a scene in the village street from which you were rescued by a landlady.
Yes, my aunt.
We don't call her that here. You then took to abuse the respectable lady. Answer me. You shouted abuse at a certain person.
See who?
Mrs. Sedley here.
I don't like interference.
Now tell me this. Who helped you carry the boy home? The schoolmistress, the widow, Mrs. Eleanor Ford.
Silence.
Mrs. Holford, as the schoolmistress, the widow. How did you come into this?
I did what I could to help.
Why should you help? This kind of fellow, brutal, callous, and false. There's something here, perhaps, in your favor. I am told you rescued the boy from drowning in the March storms. Have you something else to say? No? Then I have. Grinds, I hear advise you. Do not get another boy apprentice. Get a fisherman to help you. Big enough to stand up for himself. Our verdict is that William spoiled your apprentice.
Died in accidental circumstances.
But kind of thing people are apt to remember.
When the colonel sits upon the seat of the
Then get a woman, help you look after him.
That's what I want, but not yet.
Why not?
Not till I've stopped people's mouths.
Stand down, hear the call, stand down.
Stand down, you say. You wash your hands. The case goes on in people's minds. The charges that no court has made will be shouted at my head.
Thank you.
gossip of inquest.
But we'll gossip too, and talk and rave.
While beefing tongues nod as you go, you share the name of outlaw too. Until the barra hate poisons your mind.
In the shops to come.
I, only of drowning ghosts, time will not forget the dead. A witness, and fate is glad.
The death of Peter Grimes' apprentice is ruled accidental by the inquest. Grimes wants a full trial to clear his name completely, but he won't get it. From the prologue of Peter Grimes by Benjamin Britten, we heard Peter Peers as Peter Grimes. Owen Branigan was the judge. Claire Watson was Ellen Orford. And Benjamin Britten himself conducted the Royal Opera Orchestra and Chorus. It is now about 17 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadel at KGNU. And I've got a playlist featuring great courtroom moments from opera. And this next scene from The Pilgrim's Progress, the defendant isn't even allowed to speak on his own behalf. Vaughan Williams' opera is based on the 1638 allegory by John Bunyan. The plot traces the spiritual journey of a simple man looking for salvation. Along the way, he meets with several symbolic challenges to his faith. And in this scene, the pilgrim has come to the town of Vanity with its famous fair, Vanity Fair. There he's accosted by merchants of every manner of immorality, whoremongers, idolaters, merchants of ill repute. But he defies them. He's not interested in what they have to sell. He buys the truth. And they call for his arrest and trial for denouncing their wantonness. The judge, Lord Hategood, is summoned, and he hears testimonies of the aggrieved, but not the pilgrim. Oh, here comes the judge now.
I buys the truth. Beelzebub, the father of lies, I defy him and all his angels.
Beelzebub, Beelzebub, the father of lies, I defy him and all his angels. Beelzebub, Beelzebub, the father of lies.
Away from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and all that maketh and telleth a
lie.
commotions and divisions in our town. In contempt of our Prince Beelzebub.
All the witnesses, that they may give evidence against this man.
Beelzebub, let them forthwith appear and give their
he doth at once not only condemn our laudable doings, but us in the doing of them.
My lord, he is a pestilent fellow.
I heard
him say,
thou deservest to live no longer.
treason is confessed. Prison. Tomorrow he shall die the death.
The judge, Lord Hategood, finds the pilgrim guilty of criticizing the amoral people of the town of Vanity and sentence him to die. From Ralph Vaughan Williams' allegorical opera, The Pilgrim's Progress, we heard Raymond Herinks as Lord Hategood, John Noble as the Pilgrim. Adrian Bolt conducted the London Philharmonic Orchestra and chorus. 27 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock, you're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadell and my program of operatic courtroom scenes. And be sure to hang around after the Opera Box for a Classic Monday, when I'll be your host with a special tribute to the pianist Leon Fleischer, who passed away a week ago. That's at 8 p.m. right here on KGNU.
Coverage of breaking news is made possible by KGNU members. One way to help us bring you this coverage is by donating a vehicle you no longer need. Learn more at KGNU.org or call 1-844-KGNU-CAR.
Well, here's another courtroom scene where the deck is stacked against the plaintiff. It's from the 1938 folk opera The Devil and Daniel Webster, composed by Douglas Moore and based on the short story by Stephen Benet. The great orator Daniel Webster defends a farmer who made a pact with the devil. After years of bad luck, he said, "It's enough to make a man sell his soul to the devil." Well, in this scene, the devil agrees to have a trial by jury, but he gets to select the jury. Daniel Webster agrees, but as you'll hear, the jurors are all infamous Americans summoned from hell, such as Blackbeard the Pirate, Benedict Arnold, even John Hawthorne acts as the judge. It was that John Hawthorne who sentenced innocent women to hang at the Salem witch trials. The jurors make it clear they're not interested in evidence or testimony.
Strangler from hell, hell who broke men off. from their tormented flame. Wicked men, broken heart and bitter head. True Americans each one, traitor and disloyal son. Thank an earth and peace to dream, on paths of eternity.
Benedict Arnold is engaged upon other business. Ah, you asked for justice, I think. Justice Hawthorne is a jurist of experience. He presided at the Salem witch trials. There were others who repented of the business later, but not he, not he.
Repent of such notable wonders and undertakings? Nay, hang them all.
Are you at business with this court of special session this night? Come forward.
Call the first case.
The world, the flesh, and the devil versus Jimmy Storm.
Who appears for the plaintiff?
I, Your Honor.
And for the defendant?
I. The case. You have a little luck with this case.
The case will proceed.
Your Honor, I move to dismiss the case on the grounds of improper jurisdiction.
Motion denied.
On the grounds of insufficient evidence.
Motion denied.
Motion denied.
I will take an exception.
There are no exceptions in this court.
No exceptions in this court. It's a bad case and a well, sir, a losing case.
Your Honor.
The prosecution will proceed.
Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, this is a plain, straightforward case. It need not detain us long.
It will not detain us long.
It concerns one thing alone, the transference, barter, and sale of a certain piece of property, to wit, his soul, by Jabez Stone, farmer of Cross Corners, New Hampshire. That transference, barter, or sale is attested by a deed. I offer that deed in evidence in Market Exhibit A.
I object.
Objection denied. Market Exhibit A.
Market Exhibit A.
This deed, as you see, is properly drawn up and witnessed.
We told the deed.
It offers incontestable evidence of the truth of the prosecution's claim. I shall now call Jabez Stone to the witness stand.
Jabez Stone, we cry like a band again. Once we get him, we want him.
Your Honor, I move that this jury be discharged for flagrant and open bias.
Motion denied.
Exception.
Exception denied.
Motion's
always denied.
Your Honor.
Jabez Stone to the witness stand.
Jabez Stone.
You solemnly swear, testify, but it's no good, for we don't care what you testify.
I do.
What's your name?
Jabez Stone.
Occupation?
Farmer.
A resident?
Cross Corners, New Hampshire.
A farmer, his farm in hell. We see that he farms in hell.
Now, Jabez Stone, answer me. You'd better know you haven't got a chance, and there'll be a cooler place for the fire.
I protest! This is intimidation. This mocks all justice.
The protest is irrelevant, incompetent, and immaterial. We have our own justice. The protest is denied.
Did you or did you not sign this document?
Oh, I signed it. You know I signed it. And if I have to go to hell, why not go?
One of us now. You save a place by the fire for you, James Stone.
prosecution rests.
Remove the prisoner.
But I wish to cross-examine. I wish to
prove
that...
There will be no cross-examination. We have our justice. You may speak if you like, but be brief.
Brief, be very brief. We're weary of earth, incompetent, irrelevant, and immaterial. They say he's a smart man, Webster, but he's lost his case tonight. Be brief, be very brief, we have our own justice.
Oh, Daniel Webster, acting as lawyer for Jabez Stone to defend him against the devil, faces a stacked jury of the damned, and it seems hopeless. But Daniel Webster is a great orator. Well, we heard Lawrence Winters as Daniel Webster. The tenor Frederick Widener was the devil. Joe Blankenship was the lawyer, was the farmer Jabez Stone. And Armando Aliberti conducted the festival orchestra and choir. In this next trial, the plaintiff refuses to defend himself, knowing it will lead to his death. This from Verdi's Aida. The defendant, the Egyptian general Radames, is on trial for treason. Radames loves the slave girl Aida, who is actually the Ethiopian princess. Egypt is at war with Ethiopia, but Radames and Aida plan to escape to the desert. In Act 3, Radames explains his plan to desert the army along the route on their way to attack Ethiopia. He'll meet her there so they can run off. But while they talk, they are overheard by Aida's father, the deposed king of Ethiopia. Well, Radames was seen talking with the enemy and immediately arrested. The trial is attended by the pharaoh's daughter, Amneris. She loves Radames. They were to be married. But now Amneris only desires to save him from death. The high priest calls Radames to defend himself, but each time he remains silent. The priests rule him a traitor and condemn him to die.
perjuro al re all'onor.
The Egyptian general Radames, found guilty of treason for giving enemy information to the enemy, and sentenced to die from Act 3 of Verdi's Aida. We heard Agnes Balza as the Pharaoh's daughter Amneris. Ruggero Raimondi was the high priest. Herbert von Karajan conducted the Vienna Philharmonic and Vienna Opera Chorus. With the end of the opera, Radames and Aida will be sealed alive in a tomb. I'm going to conclude tonight's legal wranglings with the court-martial of the seaman Billy Budd. Benjamin Britten's opera was based on the short novel by Herman Melville. The court-martial takes place aboard a British man-o-war during the Napoleonic War. The evil master-at-arms, John Claggart, accused the handsome young Billy Budd of disaffection, claiming he tried to incite the men to mutiny. When Captain Vere asked Billy to reply, he stuttered and couldn't answer. Instead, he struck out, landing a blow on Claggart's head, killing him. The Articles of War state, striking a superior officer during war must be punished by hanging. Captain Vere assembles his senior officers to sit as court-martial. When the officers hear the details, they're incredulous. Billy is one of their best men. Yet, though they admired Billy as a seaman, it seems they have no choice. Billy is found guilty, sentenced to hanging at the yardarm.
By Captain Vere of striking your superior officer, John Claggart, master at arms, and thus causing his death. Captain Vere.
The master at arms, denounce the prisoner to me. For spreading disaffection, sympathy with our enemies, and trying to start a mutiny.
No, no!
Having fetched gold for bribes, I asked the prisoner to reply. He stammered, then struck John Claggart on the forehead.
Captain Vere has spoken. Is it as he has said?
Yes.
You know the Articles of War.
Yes.
And the penalty.
Yes.
Why did you do it?
Sir, I am loyal to my country and my king. Loyal to my country and my king. It is true, I'm a nobody who don't know where he was born. And I've had to live rough, but never, never could I do those foul things. Those foul things. It's a lie.
malice against the master at arms. I tried to answer him back, my tongue wouldn't work, so I had to say it with a blow, and it killed him. You stammered then, aye, it comes and it goes. Why should the master at arms accuse you wrongfully? Why? Don't know such things. Ask Captain Weir, ask him. Do you, sir, know any reason? I have told you all I have seen. I have no more to say. Prisoner, have you any more to say? Captain Weir, save me. Go in and wait. Captain, save me. Go in. I have died for you. Save me. Go in.
Thank you. Spanish men, that one man in the morning watch. I will myself tell the prisoner.
Gentlemen, the court rises.
When accused of disaffection by the evil master at arms, John Claggart, Billy Budd, loyal seaman, struck out and accidentally killed him. Because England is at war, the articles of war are clear. If any man strikes a superior officer, he shall suffer death. Despite their admiration for Billy, the court-martial has no choice. Well, I'm your host, Ron Nadell. Thank you for joining me for tonight's Opera in Court program. Stay tuned for a Classic Monday.
Support comes from Outworld Brewing, reinventing the brew pub experience through sci-fi fantasy themes. Located in between Highway 287 and I-25 on Highway 119 in Longmont. Offering dine-in, takeout, and delivery. More information at outworldbrewing.com.
Support comes from Boulder Weekly, an independently owned newspaper available at area newsstands, outdoor boxes, and online at boulderweekly.com.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to KGNU's A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, and tonight my playlist pays homage to the life and career of the great American pianist Leon Fleischer, who passed away a week ago at 92. Known for dazzlingly clear dexterity and intelligent interpretations, such as Debussy's Clair de Lune. He then lost the use of his right hand, continued to perform with his left hand before experimental treatments restored his right. I'll have examples of before, during, and after, with music of Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, Schubert, Prokofiev, and more. Join me now for a Classic Monday tribute to Leon Fleischer.